Morning!
Morning!
Welcome to the India Explained podcast, recorded in London and San Francisco. One take, unscripted, no rehearsal.
Hey man, welcome back. So Bunty, and welcome back listeners. So we were discussing that for another story today, we should talk about this Indian obsession, middle class obsession, or even aspiring middle class obsession, upper class obsession, whatever, with domestic help. Massive amounts of complaining.
I think this is a rich topic, Rohit, because, you know, obviously when you talk about this to other people, they think that, you know, this is a bizarre problem because, you know, most people in the West don't have domestic help, right? Mm. And they think that, you know, they have a vision that when you have domestic help, it's a vision of Downton Abbey, right? You are ringing the bell. Mm. An omelette is coming and tea is coming. So, you know, from people from downstairs. But what they don't know is the day-to-day reality of house help in India has a lot of challenges. And it's a juxtaposition of, you know, creating order that is kind of the a middle-class fixation in Indian cities and the chaotic life of the people who are forming, who are plugging in as the service providers to these families, right? And most of it is about absence or unauthorized absence, right? Which is, as I said, is a reflection of the chaotic lives. Not even chaotic, the lives that other people lead. Because, you know, in the domestic context, there are lots of issues around, you know, whether people have holidays or, right? And people treat people very differently. It varies immensely by family to family. And I know that my parents have always had the view that, you know, there will be common treatment. So there will be no separate types of food, etc. Whatever was cooked in the family was shared, you know, with the person who would help us. We would be taught to talk very respectfully to the person who was working with us. But I have known school friends who have tread into territories which were like, you know, borderline abuse. And, you know, so this is a very contesting area, but every home has had its problems around buy not showing up or driver driving too rashly. And solving that in a domestic context takes a lot of kind of diplomacy. It's like UN General Assembly. What are your views?
So I think, so there's one more angle I'll throw in, which is that Indian feudal mindset. So, you know, this idea is that even if you're living in, you know, whatever, 300 square foot apartment yourself, you will carve out a 15 square foot one and have, you know, a full-time servant. Usually, you know, it might be some like, you know, poor rustic chap from the heartland or something. But then you can say that, you know, Khan Sama hai and all of this.
Yes,
middle class is really torn between two imperatives. 50% of your life is terrified that you will wind up in servant quarter yourself, or you will wind up in slum, you know. And every middle class house, you know, these are very dire scenarios that were made that, you know, if you don't get into IIT, then you better start practicing begging, because if begging is all that you will do, at least be the best beggar on the street. You know, 50% is this apocalyptic vision. And I have Indian friends who say it. They said that this, you know, this financial insecurity or this, it's, you know, Amitabh Ghosh has a very evocative passage in his book, The Shadow Lines, a book I love dearly, where he talks about this moment where he, you know, the protagonist is a young boy. They go to meet a relative's family who's one notch lower on the social class scale. And you know, I think it's somewhere near Gariahat or a lot of the book is set in that area. And he looks out of the window and he sees there's this sea of slums. And he has this insight that this is, you know, what drives the Indian middle class in India, which is the fear of the slum. And it's a very, very accurate insight, because you realize that everything, you know, from IIT and hoarding and, you know, I mean, even when you take vacations, you know, very tentatively first, you know, you will go to Puri, then from Puri, you will go to Kashmir, then, you know, maybe Singapore. So the idea that, you know, if you indulge, somehow it's a sin and you will be punished. So part of it is the fear of the slum. The other 50% of the middle class dreams that, you know, like, I've heard so many people, you know, before partition, we had so much land, you know, we were lords, nawabs, you know, actually I trace ancestry to Shivaji. So that's it. I want to just throw another fact into the mix. My sociological, admittedly not rigorous, but sociological observation has been that each family has one or two domestic help categories, or, you know, if we use the politically incorrect term, there are one or two servants who are always problem figures. Like, nobody has a perfect pantheon. You know, maybe, I mean, I'm sure, like, Amitabh Bachchan and those guys, you know, like, you have a butler kind figure who then monitors everyone else. So, not the multi-hierarchy, but, you know, if you're dealing with driver, dhobi, maid, you know, cook, there'll always be one or two problem figures. Like, I'll say that for us, it was like the driver was always just never had good luck, so to speak. And I'll share some stories in a minute, yeah.
Well, I think you've raised a very, as we talk more about this, I think we have, one of the things I've noticed is unauthorized absence, right? How that creates havoc. And I think one of the things that home helps do is kind of, because quite a lot of, and I'm going to tread on very dangerous territory here, quite a lot of the Indian feminist identity is carved around being the carer and the provider and the mother figure, right? Yeah. What is stripped out of that narrative is that in order to be the mother figure, there is a lot of outsourcing that is required, right? So when there is a maid who's not showing up, or a combination of maids who doesn't show up, and in our cases, our mothers have to pick up that load, right? In parallel to juggling their other responsibilities, domestic responsibilities, sometimes there's a risk that they fall short. So I think there are two anxieties in play. One is that the person who's supposed to help hasn't come. And now that I have to step in, because, you know, we grew up in a generation, because, you know, my father never went into the kitchen. Unlike you and me, we've got kind of slightly kitchen fingers. Like, we try our best to do something in the kitchen and help.
You're great guys. You're new age men, totally.
New age men, yeah. So, you know, we load the dishwasher, we take out the washing machine. So those things. But my father never did all of that, right? Yeah. So the implication of the maid missing in action was huge in my household.
So, yeah, you're absolutely right about that. Now, this is, I mean, it's not controversial territory at all because, you know, and the standards, like the, like Indian hospitality is, you know, it's like one of the things I really like about the West is that, you know, if you just call someone and they have a plan, they, you know, last minute, you can't like pile on. The Indian concept, hum aa rahe hain, you know, relative suddenly turns up. Like, where are you? Actually, we are outside your door. We thought we would just... We thought we would call before we ring the doorbell, you know. So then what happens is, in basically, you know, I'm exaggerating and being facetious, but sometimes what's happening is, you know, like distant relative from Punjab or Delhi, like we are in Calcutta, they come and they are meeting some other family connection of ours who's, you know, also living in Lake Gardens or is, you know, in another neighborhood. So, sometimes, see, if it's a Saturday, right, or if it's a Sunday and the call is timed around 11 a.m., then the implication is very obvious that, you know, please make lunch. So, you know, and then what happens is that...
That's true. You know, I'm laughing because it's true.
Yeah, you know, strategic. If the call comes at 2:15, ki, you know, hum to iske, we have already, you know, met Ramesh or Suresh or whoever, and raat ko nikal rahe hain, kal nikal rahe hain, tomorrow we are out. Now, if the call is at 2:15, it means that we have dinner plans or, you know, we want to go and see, you know, whatever, like, Gateway, or we want to see, like, you know, Victoria Terminal. But it's 2:15, so that means that chai or samosa ke liye aaiye na. So that's what they want to hear. And if the call comes around 5:36, it means that please make dinner. Now, what will happen is, you know, suddenly, you know, mother is furiously chopping stuff. You know, I'm being sent, like, you know, also pick up bread because we'll make, you know, appetizers. Younger brother is getting, you know, thumbs up, debating, you know, we don't cook meat at home. Even though, like, some of us eat meat, you know, should we run, do a call? Dad, will dad is, you know, going to, like, Formula One down to qualities. And get, you know, so it's, I think, and the thing is that the lady of the house was expected to put on, like, a flawless performance, right? That, you know, and who's coming is, like, you know, Pradeep from Bulandshahar, who you... last met like 9 years ago and will next meet 14 years down the line or something, you know, at some wedding. So I think a lot of it was, so then, you know, you need it. I mean, this is, if you're the general, then you, or, you know, you're the king or the queen, then the queen, you need your general, right? And the general is the guy. because you can say, bye, you know, I'm doing this, or my, and you know, whatever, in different parts of India, there are different terms used for it, that, you know, I'm manning the, you know, I will make this, you know, Western dish, continental, you roll out chapatis, because, you know, with Pradeep from Bulandshahr, problem also is that, you know, you will prepare like salad, you know, some souffle or something, and it's like, you know, pata nahi kya khana hai, dal chawal chahiye tha, nahi khilaya. You know, very low grade bitch.
I think you are on a rich vein here, Rohit, but so by interrupting, the one thing that you've touched upon, this Pradeep from Bulandshahr, that kind of character would pop up in every family's life. But here's the thing, when they would recollect the meal that they had that 14 years later, you know, I still remember the rajma that was made, right? The fact of the matter was that rajma was made by the bhai, right?
Correct.
But I wouldn't see my mother distancing herself from that. So I have never seen my mom kind of step back and say, you know, that was not my handiwork. I did the salad. And I've always thought that, you know, there's this probably a legion of unrecognized, uncredited kind of households.
Yeah, labor. Yeah, it's a deep question. It's a deep question about the politics of acknowledging labor here.
Yeah. But I think on a lighter end, I think that driver reliability is. We have been very fortunate in that, you know, we've had a guy who is a very dedicated, honest, and capable man, but he can drive a car, but that he doesn't understand anything about how the motor and the engine works, right? And my father's problem with him when he was alive was, you know, this guy can drive the car and is an honest man, but he doesn't know how the car functions. And he couldn't kind of deal with this contradiction that the man doesn't know enough about his. Because my father's view was, if you're a driver, not only should you know how to drive the car, but do a diagnosis and potentially recommend, you know, lubricant, motor change, oil change, these kind of things, right? Because that's in your zone. Like, so my father could outsource that responsibility completely, right? And the damage with Jagdev Bhaiya was that he could drive, but he didn't know how the mechanics of an automobile worked, right? And my father saw that as, like, you know, a lamentable lack of qualifications, because his idea was that it's his job to know the car. And I was saying, no, his job is to drive the car. To know the car, you need to need somebody else. And so then kind of this division of labor that started creeping up, you know, who does what. And you see this division of labor, Rohit, is reflected in work. Yeah, so I've got colleagues in India with whom I have to work, and they're very territorial about who does what, right? And there is no, and I'm not saying that, you know, everybody behaves like domestic help in a corporate setting, and maybe that's another separate episode. But I think there is a tussle that goes on in terms of who does what, which is the kapda wala bhai can't do cooking. And the cooking bhai can't do kapra.
And there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of like very, very elaborate like caste boundaries and policing and ideas of purity and, you know, your position in the caste hierarchy of Indian society / Hindu society at work here.
While we're talking about this, let me just flag a movie that I saw on Netflix the other day. I think it was called 15, right? And it's set...
Article 15 or something, is that it?
It's a movie set about, you know, how... It's a caste crime hybrid set in UP. And I think I'm not in the business of recommending what people should watch or not, but that, given this context of, you know, caste conversation, that 15 movie was really, really powerful. I switched it on and I was hooked for about 2 hours, because for once it doesn't have any nacha gana. And yes, it deals with a difficult topic, but, you know, it's not, because in the kind of cinematic treatment of difficulty around caste conversations, people will have to kind of absolutely rub your face into the brutality, right? But this movie doesn't do it. It does it in a very interesting way, off a very brutal set of events. But anyways, I digress. But you're right. In the domestic context as well, these factors play out in a big way.
Well, you mentioned a driver. So I want to come back to this, you know, this other point about, there's always one figure who's kind of the nemesis. And, you know, like superhero, supervillain. So my mom, they were in two different places. They were long-standing, I think, Calcutta and Bombay. Long-standing sort of, you know, tensions with the dhobi. And, you know, so...
So what would be the dhobi's responsibility? This would be linen laundry, or would you
no clothes, everything. So this was the guy who didn't do, you know, I don't know, like, so there's one maid who would come to, like, wash stuff, right? And then this is the building dhobi, the iron, presswala, what's called the
presswala. This is the presswala, okay.
So they would always, sometimes it would be that, no, I gave you this, I didn't give you that. But more than that, it would be that, you know, math has never been my mom's strong suit, and the dhobi's math was also not, you know, good. So there's a massive confusion about, you know, and then, so I tried two things. I mean, first I was like, look, you know, shirt is whatever, 1 rupee 25 paisa, or trousers, you know, 175. So if you have, you know, then this is 60 paisa. This is like, those were, you know, what he used to charge or whatever, some, whatever the numbers were. So I said, you know, so many of this, so many of this, so many of this. Even that was a little confusing for my mom, and she didn't want to get a calculator. So I just made a table. I said that, you know, these are typically like many permutations and combinations that I use. Plus, you know, this is like, if you have 5 shirts, this is what will come to, you know, 7 trousers, that's what will come to, 2 sarees, this is what will come to. But dhobi ke sang, there was always tension. The other figure with whom, you know, we just had terrible luck were drivers. So, like, there was one guy, he, you know, it was just, I mean, the guy really was an oaf, man. I mean, I know I'm, there's, you know, a whole sort of class politics here, but he also, like, gypped us of, you know, 500 or 1,000 bucks, which is a lot of money back then. He wanted in advance, and then he never showed up. I mean, I saw him 1 year later somewhere, and I just called out to him, and he ran for his life because he thought, I'm going to chase him for the money. But this guy, my mom had taken him to a provision store. I forget which one it was called. Sakari Bandhar, maybe in Bombay, but it was in, like, you know, South Bombay. And, you know, he was, so then he saw my mom. My mom was done shopping. And she, you know, she, what she did was, he wasn't looking. She just put, so I think she had a couple of bags, and she put a couple of bags in, and then she just shut the door to go and get another bag, which was at the entrance or the doorway of, you know, the shop. Now, this oaf, he didn't look back, so he drove off. So I was at home, and then, you know, we used to have so the phone rang, and suddenly it's my mom. She said, "Wo bewakoof ghar hai." He's left me. And and just as I was talking, the building intercom rang, and it was Shiva panicky. He said, "Oh, sir, main gaadi mein hai. Oh, sabzi hai, lekin madam nahi hai." So I said, madam ko wahi chhod ke aao, wapas jao. So this, anyway, so this guy was like, he was, you know, he was a pain, but he was a bit of a entertainer. The other habit he had, and I'll just share one thing, is that, you know, he, so my mom had a friend, Lady Mrs. Guha, very nice lady. Now these are, you know, these are people of our mom's generation. So they, you know, the whole notion of male space, female space, generally different. But, you know, once this lady was sitting in the car, in the Maruti, maybe my mom and a couple of other people, friends of hers, were going somewhere. Now, the Maruti 800, which is what is a very small car. Now, Shiva had this habit that he would always keep, you know, he's with his left hand, he would hold the steering. His right hand was always on the brake and, you know, the gear, the whatever, the gear handle. He had this habit that when he would hold it, his little finger would stick out.
Right.
And his little finger was sticking out, and it kept touching Mrs. Guha on the knee. So she was getting really freaked out. So this was, you know, and this was just so, it, but Shiva couldn't help it. Like, whoever sat in front, I mean, you know, you didn't want to endanger this. You don't want to, like, tell this guy, you know, to do something where he drives rashly. So if you sat in the front, his little finger would keep, like, touching your knee very creepily. And, you know, and then the third, he had this habit where he would never brake smoothly. Like, he would come right before a bus and then slam on the brakes. So, anyway, so my brother christened him, like, you know, he said, like, this is the ass-licking school of driving, where you like, you know, just 90 miles an hour, you're, like, you know, going behind a BST bus, and then suddenly you slam on the brakes. So this was one guy. I mean, I could go on with stories, but I'm just telling you, like, so, you know, and it's not.
That's, I think the other thing is you have to be very aware of the conversationalist driver, right?
Uh-huh.
Because the one of the things, so this finger movement business is an interesting one. The other thing is, I have been in situations where, you know, I've stayed in different guises in India. So we've had talkative drivers.
Right? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So now the thing is, on the one hand, it's like entertainment.
Yeah.
But if you're relentlessly, there's a barrage of, you know, observations about kya ho raha hai, kya nahi ho raha hai, kya chahiye, kya nahi chahiye, inka matlab ye hai. Mm. You know, so my sisters have got a very low threshold of any conversation. So they ask for the radio, right? Ah. Or they ask for music. Yeah. And so that's kind of a conversational killer. But I, on the other hand, enjoy, and I'm trying to drift away from domestic context, but yeah, in cabs in India, I have like must conversations with Uber people, Ola people. I have like rocking conversations about, you know, in the where they are forthcoming, I kind of encourage it. And, you know, the conversations get wilder and wilder. But that's a separate episode, because I think if you can get a cab guy going on conversations like any part of the world, it's a good. But anyway, back to the domestic setting. I think there are, every house has adventures, but I think in net, what we're trying to call out is that behind every domestic situation in India, as we were growing up, and now that, you know, and even in current day situations, there is this cadre of people who, by and large, are very caring and helpful and go the extra mile, and their efforts are not always acknowledged, right? And I think this is our way of saying, shouting out to people, saying that, look, in spite of the ups and downs, we acknowledge the fact that this kind of army of unacknowledged help that keeps family systems in taking over. And sometimes there's a debate as to whether it's help or hindrance. But most of the time, my view is that it's more help, less hindrance. That's my view.
I actually think it's one of the good things that's happened in India, and this maybe definitely deserves another conversation, an episode of its own, is a lot of the kids of people who worked as domestic help don't want to work as domestic help now. And, you know, many of them, they'll start out by maybe getting a job at a McDonald's or, you know, do a coding class and, you know, get into the technology sector. And I think that's a fantastic thing. I really think that's, you know, yes, we are always going to have a, you know, labor intensive society, and between not having a job, there's, you know, it's a job with dignity. But people, you know, should treat domestic help much better than they do, no question. Also, this rubbish of, you know, you can't sit on the sofa or separate utensils, this kind of classism and casteism is atrocious. But in the other pattern, like, you know, in the grand scheme of things going forward, that we will now have, you know, we now have more washers and dryers. For some reason in India, people have washers, they just don't have dryers. I will never understand this. I just don't understand. I've seen it in like 8 houses, man. Like, I'm like, you have a washer, but then why take the trouble of, you know, taking the clothes? Okay, they're wrung out. Then, you know, you're putting them out to dry with those clothes clips outside the balcony, etc. But anyway, that I totally digress on. But as you know, we do get, even the architecture will shift over time, the nature of houses, the functionality, more microwaves, you know, more self-sufficiency, people valuing maybe privacy also more, and more opportunities for people who had no choice but to work these jobs. I think that would be a good development.
So, let's wrap it up on that basis. Till the next time we speak, take care, boss. Take care.
Yeah. You too, man. Take care. Bye. Chalo, boss. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to us. Rohit and Bunty would like to sign off. Please stay tuned. Follow us on India Explained on Twitter. Keep listening. Thank you for all your support.